Well, welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out.
Yes.
I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans. February
5th, 2019.
Another win under
actually,
the belt.
Actually, it's been funny, kind of, a lot of funny commentary. I think it was Josh Kanner, who's the organist for the Boston Red Sox.
Wow.
And Josh, he puts up on Twitter. We go back and forth a lot.
Yeah.
Well, he plays organ with my friend's band sometimes.
Oh, okay, so you know him.
Great guy,
Twitter
actually.
Friend, or you know.
Yeah. But he said the 14-week championship drought is over.
Yeah, right. Unbelievable. Right? Now everyone's gonna look towards the Celtics to make it. That happened in 2007 and 8.
What about the Bruins? How are they doing?
They did. Do you remember the year though? It was the Red Sox. And then the Pats, and then the Celtics.
Right. You can do it in multiple ways because, you know, as long as it's within a 12-month period, right?
It was three out of four.
Yeah. So that was pretty good. So, I don't know.
Two down. We're batting two out of four.
Yeah. You know, the thing I worry about sometimes is that, you know, unlike how it used to be where we say, oh, my God, the Red Sox are never going to win. Oh, how sad. Yeah. And, you know, and the Patriots once upon a time, too, it's sort of they're not going to win.
Through the 80s.
But now we have kind of almost like a sense of like,
entitlement.
We're expecting the championship.
That's why they hate us.
Yeah. That's why they hate us. Yeah, I think it's true.
I don't know.
Actually, one thing not to obsess on football, because I'm not really that big a football fan.
I'm not either, and I still don't forgive Kraft for all his Trump stuff. But talent is talent.
Talent is talent.
And coaching is coaching. And I do not like Belichick, but you have to give it to him.
You know, people were saying when the game was over in the commentary afterwards, says, well, it wasn't pretty, but, you know, we're Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm Bill Belichick, who I believe before he came to the Patriots was a defensive coordinator, I think he probably thought that was a great game because the defense was awesome.
On both sides. Yeah,
on both
it's
sides.
It's kind of like when you have a low-scoring baseball game, people because it's a pitcher's game.
Yeah,
you know, so give him credit for that.
So from Bill Belichick's point of view, he probably thought this was the greatest war.
But I am so glad they had that fourth quarter. Did you watch it?
I actually skipped out for a part of the middle of the game, and then I came back.
The middle game
in the fourth
is good.
Quarter.
Yeah, the fourth quarter is where they tied up 3-3.
Yep. Yep. So anyway, it was pretty cool. And I think, and of course, today was the parade.
Yeah, 65 degrees. I mean, who would, you know, it was minus five last week?
Well, it's because we're entitled.
I know, we are.
Well,
tomorrow we'll go back to normal.
It has to be wonderful,
amazing.
And I think, was it yesterday or was it today? I think it was yesterday was truck day.
No, that I don't. Truck day for who?
Red Sox.
Oh, you mean to go to...
load up the truck with the equipment.
Really? It was yesterday on
Sunday?
Maybe
it wasn't...
I don't think it'd be around the parade day, would it?
Well, they weren't counting on the
championship. That's a good point. So maybe...
But I believe they carted up all the equipment ahead to Florida. Yeah.
Okay, for spring training.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kind of looking forward to it.
I am too.
And as you know, I have cable TV now.
I know.
I can watch Red Sox games for the first time in gosh
knows how long. You can watch Red Sox games.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm like a newfound cable TV guy. I'm like watching.
Next
old
thing
movies
we know, he's gonna have a cell phone. Even
that
if
ain't
it's
happening.
A flip phone. Well, don't say it won't because
never
it really
never.
Is. To me, it's like learning to drive a car or having. You don't necessarily have to own a car, but it's a good skill.
Time. I didn't drive till I was 27.
Well, you barely drive now, so let's.
That's true. I'm kind of working my way back to 27.
When you have what? Yeah. How old is your bus?
40.
What?
My bus
is... No, but what year is it? I can't count.
1979.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Actually, I was joking about that today. There was a committee meeting, an ordinance committee, and they were talking about accessory dwelling units, and people said, well, what's the lowest amount of square foot that's legal for a dwelling unit?
Well, this is
and
lowest.
They said it's 120 feet. Square feet.
I said my
VW bus is less
there
than that.
There you go. Well, I hate
but
to
it doesn't
I mean,
have a bathroom.
On a sadder note, I mean, people do live in their cars.
That's true.
And
that
I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
It makes me teary. All right. So, parade, trucks. Let's.
Oh, yeah. It was cool. So, not that there's a whole lot to say about it, but, you know, we did have a council meeting yesterday.
Pretty short.
It was.
Gone over by 7:45, wasn't
that's
it?
It was. It was in
8
that
o'clock.
Neck of the woods.
It was definitely over by 8.
And not
public
nearly,
comment. Public comment was over by 6.
Yeah, not a ton of controversy. There were a few things that
you can only tell by the public comment. If the couple comments an hour or more, there's something.
There's something, something big happening.
Either trees,
right?
Bikes, or
yeah.
Something.
So on the trees thing, I don't think there's much progress or anything to say. But the thing is
there
is
going to be a meeting.
February 14th.
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day is set. They're having an ordinance committee
at
meeting.
At 5:30, I believe, right?
I think that's right. Yeah. Just sort of, give a fair hearing to the
whole moratorium
concept of the moratorium, which is different than what was originally talked about. And
right.
I don't know. I'm starting to feel a little optimistic that there actually will be a few open minds about talking about reasonable accommodation for reasonable people, which is all I
ever
ask for.
It'll probably bring out the same group of people that came out last week.
Yeah.
It might bring out a few. There weren't that many people in opposition, but were there at the last one?
Not really.
But
not
maybe
really.
Now that it's getting more publicized, people will come out. Yes. And,
I mean, the thing is that what was being proposed was not something that would necessarily have, caused people any great alarm. But when the idea of a moratorium was subsequently introduced, that caused at least some
concern.
And then
if you violated it, it was the cost to the homeowner. And specifically, people were talking about small property owners, not large, because there's other mechanisms to go after people that don't get the big commercial properties.
I actually found it a little confusing because the existing ordinance actually has things like $300 a day fines penciled already in.
But is it for personal, not on personal property, though? Isn't that more towards commercial development or
I think it's a matter of how it's been enforced or how it's been interpreted. And
I'd have to look at it. I don't know.
And to what degree the Public Works Department, who I believe were the agent that had to deal with it, how much flexibility they had. And so in other words, if somebody says, well, here's my situation, and you make a reasonable case, they could say, yeah, go ahead. You won't be subject to the
fine. Well, are you saying that under the existing ordinance, if you yourself did not take the tree down, you would have to get a permit?
I think that's
right. I mean, do you have to get a permit anyway, even if you take it down yourself? That's not clear.
I think it's
not on your own property.
I
know people have done this, so
no, I know people have done it. But but the thing is, there are. Listen, there was a back in the late 90s or early aughts. I think there was a provision in the zoning that said you couldn't pave over your yard.
They must have gotten rid of that because people have done that.
It's in the books. But that's my point. The thing is that if you were to pave over your yard or a big piece of your yard because you wanted to park vehicles, you could do it, but you had to put in what they call a friable surface.
What's
in other
friable
words,
mean?
If you laid bricks so that the water could percolate through.
Well, I don't know. My daughter went to City Hall to complain about something that was done to that behind her. I won't name where the street is, and they said they can do that. So maybe
you
could get that permit.
You can
permit.
Do friable surfaces.
Well,
yeah.
What does it look like?
Term,
it looked like just plain asphalt to me.
They say in theory that there are paving materials which are water permeable. I've been a little skeptical about that myself. Yeah. But if they certify it and say it meets the letter of the law, then it would be called friable.
The bigger issue was that they took down these trees, maybe for all along the barrier between that property. So that plus the paving really made it.
I mean, the thing is city can pass all the laws at once, but,
it's enforcement.
I remember when they passed the law about, you couldn't pave over with asphalt your yard. And then within a year of that, a place on Broadway, that's what I saw. It was they just asphalted right up to the trees. And I said, I don't know how long those trees are going to live.
But what if a neighbor had reported it?
A lot of times the neighbor doesn't know what the law says.
Or but doesn't want to make bad neighbor.
Or might not want to make an enemy of a neighbor. I think that's often the issue.
Yes, it is.
But I think somebody was commenting about how these couple of pine trees on Broadway have died recently. And I said, yeah, those were the trees that I was concerned about, actually.
Wow, interesting.
And this was actually 15 years ago when they did the paving over.
Wow.
I
like Craig Kelly's, late report thing that was in the, the agenda.
I
read that with all the pictures of, is this a tree? Could this be? I just thought it was helpful because,
I thought it was incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know some people were very critical of it, and I thought, why are you being critical? He's actually asking reasonable questions. He's
pointing out things that, you know, someone might want, gee, this is unsightly. There was one that was like spread out, it was short, but it was still considered a tree, and it was that 8-inch, is that the...
Yeah, you could have a tree that basically is that wide around
at breast height. Well, that's a lot more than 8 inches.
And then it just turns into nothingness. 8 inches is
only what? Yeah. What would that be, a 4-inch diameter? An 8-inch? You're the math guy. Come on.
What's 8 inches? No, it's actually 8-inch diameter at breast height.
Oh, diameter. So that's...
DBH, yeah.
Oh, so that is pretty big.
Yeah, so that's 25.
But it could still be a shrub. Around.
Yeah, and that could be considered a shrub. So then technically you could cut it down because
it's
not a
tree. And most people wouldn't... Hire an arborist to do that if you're somewhat, you know, get a saw and do it.
You know, the thing is, they're going to pass something and
it's got to be reasonable.
And I just want reasonable accommodation. Yeah. But the thing is, in many respects, I think they're, and maybe when this tree canopy task force comes back, they'll have a much better way of looking at these things.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point is people shouldn't be worrying so much about this one tree or these two trees here and there.
It's more the development as a whole.
You know, you had a certain canopy decades ago. Things change. It's hitting a minimum now for a number of reasons, some of which include...
But is it drastic, the reduction? What was it, 10%?
You know...
12%?
Depends on who you talk to, but the point is even if it is or isn't, the idea here should be like, okay, take that as a given.
Yeah.
And what are the policies you want to enact from now moving forward to replenish the trees in the city or other forms of that, you know.
Can there be other vegetation that addresses climate change and all that?
Yeah.
Or heat
right.
cooling.
Right. So that's what I'm more interested in. Not so much sort of like.
How about ivy?
For example, they have these like growing living walls
ivy all
and
over
whatever.
The wall.
Yeah. Seriously. You know, so I'm much more interested in.
I'm not trying to make a joke of this either.
No, I'm much more interested in what's your long term plan for the next 50 years?
Right. Not
in terms of incrementally having an increase in tree cover where appropriate from now on. You know, because remember, sometimes it may not be appropriate. For example, if you want to have solar panels. You don't necessarily want to have tree cover where the solar panels are going.
Wow, I never thought of that.
So
there's
a contradiction. So the thing is how you're going to have to balance this and think it through. So in places where you're not going to have solar panels, then maybe you want to have it, but...
Well, they'd probably get permission to do it because that would be considered a benefit to the homeowner, to the city, to have their solar panel. But that's never even been brought up.
But certainly during the moratorium period, you would not have any flexibility at all.
No, yes, you do. It says it right there. It says, unless it's dangerous, an emergency.
The trees would be dead, diseased, or dangerous.
But maybe they'd have to add that, or if you're putting in solar panels.
Or if you're putting in solar panels.
Hey, you heard it right here. Mr. Environment.
Seriously. We're obsessing on trees again, but I have to say.
I want to see if someone actually watches this.
The point I've made, I'll say one last time, which is that what if you're in a situation like me where you have a tree which may be dangerous because it leads heavily towards your house.
I know someone like that.
And
but you really don't want to take it down.
Which may be diseased because it's an ash tree and the emerald ash borer is going to kill every ash tree pretty soon anyway, I'm sure. Yeah.
So then take it down.
But it's not dead, but I can point to every single leader and show multiple places where branches have fallen off.
So you fall into that.
No,
because
it's not dead. It's not necessarily diseased.
No,
it's not necessarily dangerous.
Well, no, that's not true.
Right. So I basically, all I wanted was to say, look, I think I can make a pretty strong case. And by the way, I don't necessarily want to take my tree down. I want to have that option.
All right, I know someone in exactly the same situation. They know it's eventually probably going to fall on the neighbor's property. Is the city going to pay for the destruction if he chooses not to cut it down?
Well, that's an issue.
So
there are definitely issues.
He's all for keeping
trees. February 14th, they're going to have a hearing.
That's
and
a week
maybe
from
they'll
Thursday.
Come up with some reasonable
and that will be
ideas.
It should be televised. It's an ordinance.
It is going to be televised. Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway, so there you go. Now, something it's actually just tiny bit related. So another item that was on the agenda for the council meeting has to do with a Eversource facility that they want to build on Fulkerson Street.
Now, was that application to petitions or was that a city manager agenda? Where did that
No, it's
fall?
Actually showed there was a city council order that basically was asking the city to investigate and look into, you know, how much trouble this is going to cost, you know, in terms of infrastructure. Is there really a need to
order
have
three.
This,
right.
et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera, mm-hmm. okay?
Yeah.
Basically, there are some East Cambridge neighbors who aren't thrilled.
Yeah, because they're actually Siddiqui, McGovern, and Mallon, so it was an interesting, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, and they were bringing up various arguments about potential health hazards and whatever, but I think, you know, and personally, I find that specious, but...
Well, personally, because you know that it's...
You know, as I've been pointing out to people, the thing is that if you don't know it, there are actually huge high-voltage lines crisscrossing the city under major thoroughfares. Mm. They're actually, you know, a tremendous amount of power. It actually kicks off a lot of heat because of it. They actually have liquid oil running through the pipes just to take the heat away, and they dissipate it. But so the thing is that those are actually happening right through the city right now. So if there's a concern about electromagnetic fields, like you know, people worry about those big high tension lines that crisscross the country, you know, and say, you don't want to live near those because there's all these health risks, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got those same lines.
But
just
maybe it's
under
because
the
it's buried, it's different.
No, electromagnetic fields
can
are,
come up through the...
Oh, they're going right through.
Oh, you're scaring people, Robert.
No, but the point is,
no, I know.
I don't think it's anything to be fearful about, you know?
No, I mean, it's the price you pay to have energy.
One of the real concerns I think some people have is that they're saying, like, well, all this electrical infrastructure is being done, they
because
say,
of the big
because
development
of all the development
Kendall.
In Kendall Square. And that may be true.
Yeah.
It very well may be true. And so they're saying, well, if you really need to do it, then why aren't you building it, like, on the Volpe site? Why aren't you building it down where the Constellation Center is down in, you know, in Kendall, in the heart of Kendall Square? I mean, why? I mean, there's already
why
gas.
Did they buy that particular piece of property?
Yeah. Why
are $13 million, by the way.
Yeah, some people have pointed out that there's actually available site when the, who's, I forget the name of it, is it Morant that runs the big power station that's down close to the Broad Canal, next to the Broad Canal? Why aren't they having the electric infrastructure down there, right? So
what's the answer?
I don't know. I mean, but the point is, I think that the issue isn't, I think it's a bit of a deflection.
Maybe
people,
this was a good deal for $13 million.
You know, maybe that's it. Or maybe it's strategically located.
Because of, I don't know if substations have to have a certain location.
I think it's a factor.
Yeah.
It's certainly a factor. You know, and there is, people have pointed out there's actually a big substation up at Alewife. Right next to where they're building this new housing up on Wheeler Street. So
sort of to the left of Fresh Pond Park?
On the opposite, across the parkway from the way the mall is, the Fresh Pond Mall.
I see wires all over that place.
Yeah, well,
that's
big.
And there's like all that houses, 1,000 units of housing right now.
My biggest concern about being near those is sometimes they hum real loud or something. Mm. So I would not want that next to me. But
look, between using cell phones, which people say,
I know
you don't use one, but you know the radio. You know, we're all exposed to all of this stuff. And
So you know, I mean, you know, it's basically it's just generating information, and I think to whatever degree that that information is available, and Eversource may already have the information they want.
Right.
I mean, Councilor Carlone seemed to think they would have that information already.
Yeah.
So you just ask them for it. Mm-hmm. Councilor Zondervan actually pointed out something for those who were arguing that they haven't yet proven the need to have all this extra electrical infrastructure.
They haven't? Who hasn't?
Eversource. Do you really need to build this?
Do you walk down there to Kendall?
They
I'm
need
sorry.
It. Well, actually, Councilor Zondervan pointed out something. He said, you know, you have a little bit of a conflict here, because if, in fact, as part of the climate change discussion, you want to start transitioning away from fossil fuels, what that means is you are necessarily asking more and more people to have heat and other things all coming off of the electric grid. So the thing is, your future necessarily has to be much more reliant on your electrical infrastructure when you start eliminating things like natural gas and other things. So the thing is that if you're worried that there's, that if you somehow have convinced yourself this is not necessary now, it'll, well, heck, it's going to sure be pretty necessary soon enough. if in fact you're going to transition away from fossil fuels. I mean, you can do a lot with energy fossil efficiency.
Fossil fuels, oil is different. All right.
We're not talking just oil.
I know, but natural gas seems to be the big player now.
Right, but the thing is that, and you know, a lot of homes used to be heated on oil. We're all converted to natural gas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And now everybody's saying, well, that's just a greenhouse gas, so we really want to be transitioning away from that in favor of other things.
But isn't it better than oil, natural gas?
Probably.
Oh, but then you have all the problems like we had in Colombia. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, but then what's the next step then? All solar driven? Because that's
you know
really
the thing is you so
we're
you
using
get,
coal a lot too, people.
Right.
Don't forget
so
that.
So the thing is you would get some electrical needs would be supplied locally. But in fact, there's no way you're heating a city just off of your solar panels for a lot of. I mean, some individual homes can, sure, but
you
can't
unless
really
completely retrofitted.
On it. Yeah,
the
and
whole, yeah.
And there also are cloudy days, you know, and night and.
Well,
yeah,
but then isn't the whole thing about batteries and storage
and
all that?
But I think the point simply was that you can't simply push off the day that you need to upgrade your electrical infrastructure.
Oh, no. And this is now.
And actually, right. Councilor Carlone said something that really resonated with me. He said, you know, when this whole Envision Cambridge thing kicked off three plus years ago, someone first said it.
Right. Did you hear that?
But the thing is
Steve Kaiser.
Steve Kaiser, and I'm glad he did.
Yeah, where's the infrastructure part of Envision?
When we first started it.
Yeah. Did you mention
because I'm on the advisory committee, and even before it officially became Envision Cambridge, you know, and when we talked about the climate resiliency, whatever, I said, what about electrical infrastructure? You bet I did. I don't think I was the only one, but I was certainly really trying to emphasize it.
And what
And I fully expected when we kicked into the Envision Cambridge thing that long-term planning would involve questions of infrastructure. I don't think that ever happened.
It's interesting. So that... What about municipal broadband? Did that ever come up in Envision in any committees? Because that's in some, I mean, even though I had
If it happened,
feelings,
I didn't hear it.
Because that's part of infrastructure in some ways.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so, again, I don't want to be just beating up Envision
Cambridge
here. No, but I think
how we heat,
There are some energy, pretty essential missing pieces.
Absolutely. A lot of it's very aspirational and not very...
Well, I think that, you know, they kind of honed down to these sort of five or six topic areas in the Envision Cambridge process.
They listened to people, and I guess the people showed up at these
If you weren't
things,
part of mobility, and if you weren't part of urban form, or housing, which became very specifically subsidized housing.
Was there a specific climate environment one?
There was climate environment, and actually...
And what about work?
There was like economic development
economic
and whatever,
development,
right?
Yeah.
Which I suppose you could have...
You could have put that in
you
there.
You could have put infrastructure into either of those two, I suppose.
Or environment.
But I didn't really see it.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
we'll
honestly.
See.
So I'm going to call that a deficiency.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, I also would have expected under the category of mobility, there would have at least been some discussion of the road network as opposed to just bikes and whatever. And, you know...
Speaking of...
For example, you know...
Right, that's on our list here.
Oh, is it?
You don't have it?
Oh, about the 20 miles per hour?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we don't agree on that. Or maybe we do, but I have been driving very consciously around the city and checking my speeds, because when I'm going 20, I feel that that's comfortable. I could stop in time and not hit somebody.
All right, so there was a report back from the traffic department basically recommend, you know, and I think the city council will was to have 20 mile per hour.
Now, is that, would they have to go to the state to do that?
No, they do not.
They do not.
But the thing is, the way it worked under state law is that you could drop the citywide limit to 25,
right,
and you could designate school zones and safe zones or special zones to drop it to 20. So we already did it for all the major squares.
So we could actually do it for those streets they named without doing anything.
Right. So they came back with a map, and it's a little funny to look at, quite honestly, because they color-coded and made, I think it was purple.
Purple. But if then you look at the actual streets in alphabetical order.
Right. But it was actually over 400 streets designated as eligible for the reduction. So it's basically most streets in this city. So, and I think there was some, this as part of the discussion, I think it was Councillor Zondervan suggested, I think he was spot on. He said, first off, could you just paint it in the roadway, say in 20 mile per hour? He said, no. According to state law, it has to be standard signage. They said, well, can't you just sort of say, okay, the whole city's 20, except for these, except by exception,
right, in other
where
words, opt
some
out,
are 25.
Opt in, right, yeah.
And
but
they
no.
said, no, no, we don't have the authority to do that.
So can, well,
that
well, why can't we get the authority to do that?
You could ask the state for it and
I
see
think
whether
we
they
should.
Do.
Be a lot less clutter.
I completely agree. You know, to me, the you
all
know,
speeds are, unless otherwise noted.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, remember how you used to see that signs? You still see it in the rural areas. They, when you're entering a little village area, it says
thickly
settled.
That was a question
right.
for Hidden Brain or one of those shows
yeah,
they do.
Yeah.
It's like, what does that mean?
So thickly settled.
You know?
I know what it means.
You could
yeah.
do your own
I mean,
show.
A certain population
right.
density. You, right. I'm sure there's a specific
so
code
what does it
of what
mean?
It means. But it just basically means that housing is a lot more, a little denser than it is out in the rural. So it's basically when you're entering the village,
yes.
it's thickly settled.
Watch
and
out for
it's
people.
It's not like urban necessarily. It's
see,
just
there might be
settled.
Houses closer together.
Yeah, a little closer,
therefore.
Right?
Okay.
And then when you leave the little village and move in,
yeah.
onto the connector road, yeah. Then it's no longer thickly settled. But the speed limit would drop to 30. So it could be 55.
Oh, so there was
or 45,
a speed limit attached to
and
the
then
thickly
settled meant 30 mile per hour limit.
30? Wow, that is fast.
Well, relatively speaking, that's
I'm
fast,
sorry.
Right? Yeah.
You try going 30. I've been going 20.
Well, they could
and
drop
25
it,
feels fast.
But they
to
could
me.
The individual city and town could drop it
okay.
to 25. Now
well,
they have the authority to do
I
it.
I think it's good 20 because most people go over the speed limit anyway. So now maybe it'll be closer.
So you know, maybe what they should do is they, you know, again, I find the state legislature somewhat lacking at times,
oh,
quite honestly.
Tell me.
But you know, if you want to have a term called thickly settled. Which basically warrants 30 mile per hour or 25 if you want to give them authority to do that. Maybe you should have a new phrase called urban settled or something like that, or very thickly settled.
How about watch out?
right.
Watch out.
But,
bikes, pedestrians.
But you know, but if any, you know, the fact of the matter is, Cambridge, you go down any block on any street,
yeah.
on any pole, and there's like three or four signs.
So, you think
so this will just
be
more.
Attention? Well,
no,
maybe
I think
it has to be a
special
attention. New sign.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, it would have to be. But the thing
oh,
is, it's like we don't have enough signs already.
I know.
Goodness.
That's why I think they should go for a petition.
I think they should have an omnibus bill
say,
on sign reduction, but
yeah.
replace some with these ones. Maybe.
Right.
How about that?
Okay.
Would that be fair?
And
we go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, so it was interesting. But it was interesting to see it was over 400 streets now have to be
yeah.
signed this way. So anyway, back in a few minutes.
Okay.